Would like for you to take your Bible and open it this morning to the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at chapter 50, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10 and 11. I'm going to deal with something this morning that will happen to you. It perhaps has already, if indeed it hasn't already happened to you, it will. I'm speaking mostly and specifically to those who are believers, those who are born again members of the family of God. I want to say that one of these days, if not already, you will find yourself plunged into dark, dark despair. You will be perplexed. You will have problems. There will be confusion on every hand. All of your formulas and your outlines and your ideas that you have there are not going to work. You'll not understand what God is up to in your life. And it'll be so dark in your life, as we are wont to say, you'll not be able to see your hand in front of your face. This is what the old-timey theologians call the dark night of the soul. And that's what I've entitled the message this morning, the dark night of the soul. You'll wonder if God has died. You'll think you've lost your mind. Nothing will work, and you'll just know that God has forsaken you. That's exactly what Isaiah the prophet is talking about here in these two verses. You follow as I read. Verse 10 of Isaiah 50. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you will have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. I want us to think this morning about two basic things in the dark night of the soul. I want us to talk about the possibility of darkness in the life of the Christian. Then I want us to talk about the procedure for the darkness in the light of the Christian. First of all, the possibility of darkness in the light, in the life of the Christian. I will say first that it's not unusual. That darkness is not unusual in the life of the Christian. Now, we're not talking, when we talk about the dark night of the soul, we're not talking about people who are living in sin. Isaiah says, who among you fears the Lord? He's talking about committed, dedicated people to the Lord's cause. We're not talking about people who live a carnal life. He says he's referring to those who obey the voice of the servant of the Lord. And yet, they have no light. They walk in darkness. Now, if you go back and review the lives of God's choicest people in His Word, you'll discover that every one of them experienced the dark night of the soul. Job is one that just jumps into my mind as an example. We're all familiar with Job and the experience that he had in his life. And in chapter 19, verse 8 of Job, he says, God maketh my path dark. Habakkuk was another. Habakkuk cried out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, until you answer my prayer?" John the Baptist was put in prison. Paul the Apostle called himself perplexed. So if you're in darkness today, you are in good company. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's some great sin in your life. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've done some great wrong. He talks about fears the Lord, obeys God, and yet has no light and walks in darkness. So the possibility of darkness in your life is not unusual. Let me also say that the possibility of darkness in the life of the Christian is not unfruitful. Not unusual and not unfruitful. There is a purpose in the darkness. Someone has said the fruit of the Spirit ripens in the darkness. It just simply means that God is up to something in your life. I stand before you this morning not as one who just talking about something that I've read, I've heard other people talk about. I just want to confess to you this morning, I have experienced the dark night of the soul. And so I didn't know it then. I was younger, and I was not aware of all that God had. But I look back on these times in my life, and I see exactly what Isaiah is talking about taking place in my own personal life. There is a purpose for the darkness in the life of the Christian. It is not unfruitful. Do you know there are some things that you can only do in the dark? One of those is see the stars. You go out there, it's pretty cloudy, so that's not a good example for this morning. But if you go outside in the noonday hour and look up to heaven, do you see the stars? No. Does that mean they're not there? No. It just means you have to wait until it's dark before you can see them. There are some things that you can only do in the dark. And by the way, I've never experienced this, but I understand that if you go down in a deep well in the daytime and you look up, you're able to see those stars in the daylight hours. I don't know, I've never tried that, but I understand that that is so. So there are some things that you will only see in the dark. And there are some things that you can see better after you've been in the dark and you come into the light. Now, to put this on a physical realm, there's just something about the dark that sharpens your eyesight. I understand that in one of our large northern cities, there's an art gallery that displays masterpieces of art with all kinds of colors and designs. And you walk off the street through the front door of that art gallery, and the first thing they do is not usher you into the gallery, but they take you over to what they call their dark room. And they require you to sit for 15 minutes in the darkness in their dark room. And then they'll come and get you and take you through to see the paintings. And the purpose for the dark room is because they say that when you come off the street, you have all the glitter of the street in your eyes, and you can't appreciate our artist work until you've gotten all the glitter of the street out of your eyes, and then you can walk through and you can appreciate the colors and the designs of our artist work. And you know, I heard and read about that, and I thought, you know, Some of us are dazzled by the glitter of the world. And what God does is let us just sit in darkness for a while so that we can appreciate the beauty of God's grace. There's the possibility of darkness in the life of the Christian. It's not unusual. It's not unfruitful. And number three, it is not unending. The darkness in the life of the Christian is not unending. That means you will come out of it. And you will come out of it a better person. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." The same sun that sets is the same sun that rises again. And God, beloved, will indeed lighten the path of His saints. So there may be some here this morning, I know not, who are plunged in darkness. What brings it on? It could be disease or death, despair, depression. I just want to call on you this morning to pay heed to the scripture of Isaiah, and God will pin the curtains of darkness back with a star, and He will open the doors of the morning and flood your world with His glory and with His light. When will that happen? I don't know. Could be soon. Could be later. But just because it doesn't make sense to you now doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. So I just wanted to say to you that there is the possibility of darkness in the life of the soul. And it's not unusual, it's not unfruitful, and it's not unending. But I also want us to hasten on and look at the procedure in darkness. For I believe that that's the reason, the primary reason, for these two verses here. The procedure in darkness. What to do when darkness comes. Now you surely are aware that the test of your character is not what you do in the light. But a test of your character is what you do when the lights go out. What do you do in the dark? That's who you really are. And so the procedure in darkness shares with us and tells us what should we do when the darkness comes. The procedure in darkness. Let me just suggest to you that Isaiah gives to us here three things that that should be our procedure when we find ourselves in the dark night of the soul. The first one is in verse 10, and it's look to the Lord. Procedure number one, look to the Lord. In verse 10, he says, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord." In other words, just look to the Lord. Now, you don't have to know why. As one who's lived 77 years, been a follower of Christ, a preacher of the gospel most of those years, one thing I have learned, and I pass on to you for whatever good it is to you, I never, ever ask God why. And I discovered that studying the book of Job. You are aware of all the things that came upon Job in his life, and Job spent 42 chapters asking God, "Why, God? Why? Why have you taken everything away from me? Why have you stricken me with all of this disease?" Not one time did God answer his question, why? You see, folks, God is not under no obligation to explain himself to us. We do not live as believers in Christ by explanations. We live by promises. And that's how we're to guide our life. And so we live by promises and not explanation. And so when he says, let him trust in the Lord, that means you grab a hold of a promise of God and you hang on to it. That word trust means to deposit as you do into the bank. Let him deposit his life to the Lord. Look to the Lord. You don't have to understand it to stand on it. Faith comes when you don't see the way clear, when you don't understand, when it doesn't make sense. That's when faith comes, and when we need it the most. And the evidence of our trust that we're looking to the Lord is our obedience. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so if we want evidence of are we really looking to the Lord, examine your obedience in the Lord. You see, many, many folks stop their serving when they get in the dark night of the soul. Something happens and they can't see their way and they wonder what's going on and they say, well, I'll just stop everything until it all clears up. So they quit reading their Bible, they quit their devotional prayer time, they quit coming to church, they leave off their giving and their witnessing. But Isaiah is saying, trust in the Lord, hang on to him, look to the Lord. And Job eventually said in his book, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And so in the dark night of the soul, look to the Lord. In the dark night of the soul, number two, lean on the Lord. Look at verse 10. And rely upon his God. The King James Version uses the word stay there, and stay upon his God. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means, but I understand that the Hebrew word that's translated for stay here is the same Hebrew word that's translated staff in Psalm 23:4. That's the verse that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And what there were two things that a shepherd never was without. That was his rod. The rod was a defensive stick. He used it to take care of the predators that tried to get to his sheep. And the other was his staff. That was the long pole with the crook at the top. The shepherd always had that staff. What did he use it for? He used it to steady his footpath. He was walking over rugged terrain. He was in the rocks and on the cliffs. And he was constantly leaning on that staff to get a steady foothold. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. You look to the Lord and you lean on the Lord as well. God has allowed your darkness, beloved, so that you might learn to lean on him. He's not providing reasons for you. He's providing a relationship. He's bringing you to himself. And God may take everything else away so that the only thing that you have is him. This is what we call the discipline of darkness. In the dark night of the soul, lean on the Lord. Don't lean on some sermon you've heard. Don't lean on some bank account you have or some counselor that may advise you. Lean on the Lord. And so I ask you, do you know the Lord? Do you know He's enough? You see, Job lost it all so he could learn to lean on the Lord. And you may never know Jesus is enough for you and that He is all you need until He is all that you have. The darkness may come and the darkness may hide, but the darkness will never divide. Look to the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Number 3 is in verse 11. Leave it with the Lord. And I'll just confess to you, in my times of darkness, this has been the hardest one to really follow. And I have read the verse. I remember in my earlier years as a boy and moving into my service in the Lord, that verse 11 just really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Verse 11 says, leave it with the Lord. Look to the Lord, lean on the Lord, leave it with the Lord. Look at what he says. You who kindle a fire and encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled, and you will have this from my hand, you will lie down in sorrow. It's our tendency, I believe, when the darkness comes to our soul, for us to say, let's do something, even if it's wrong. You know, we as Baptists a lot of time want to say, well, let's do something. Let's don't just sit there, do something. And you know, God sometimes will say, don't just do something, sit there. God is trying to move in your life and stir your heart. He's trying to make himself revealed unto you. And too many times we spark our own fires, as Isaiah said. We rely on our carnal ideas and the energy of our own flesh. We take things into our own hands. And God says, you're going to make a mess. You're going to lie down in sorrow. Leave it with the Lord. Don't light your own fire so you can see. Why is that? Well, darkness, I want to say to you, is ordained of God. That darkness is the absence of light. And you can't have darkness unless light is taken away. You don't go into a room and turn on the dark. You turn off the light. And you don't reach out to a switch and turn on the dark. As you leave, you turn on the light. And if the light is on, the only way that the darkness will come is if you withdraw the light. Darkness doesn't come at night. The light just withdraws. And then in the morning, it comes again. And as the sun, as the light comes, the darkness will fade. That's the way it is in our Christian life. Darkness never chases light away. Light always overcomes the dark. God is light, the Bible says. And if there's none present for you in your life now, it's because God has ordained it and He has withdrawn that light, not because you did something terribly wrong, not because you sinned some great sin, but because God is trying to get your attention. So don't go out there and light your own fire. You look to the Lord and you lean on the Lord and then you leave it with the Lord. Our light sometimes will tend to mess things up. You know, you can take a sundial and set it out in the yard, and that sundial uses heavenly light to operate. It'll tell you the accurate time if it's set right, and that sun will dictate the right time. But if you go out there with a flashlight, a light of your own making, and you use it with that sundial, you're going to get a time, but it's not going to be right. It's going to be false. It's not going to be true. And many are trying to use their own sparks today that they've kindled. Pop psychology, trendy philosophy, talk shows, social media. Abraham is an example of this. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, your descendants are going to number the sand on the seashore." And here Abraham is coming on 100 years old, and he has not one child. And so he panics, and the darkness comes, and he lights his own light in the form of a little Egyptian handmaid named Hagar. And the result is a son by that little Egyptian named Ishmael. And listen to me, the sons of Abraham have been lying down in sorrow ever since. Leave it with the Lord. You see, with God, timing is more important than time. When the dark comes for the Christian, it's not unusual, it's not unfruitful, it's not unending. When it comes, look to the Lord, lean on the Lord, and leave it with the Lord. We sing the song, "Have Faith in God." He'll answer yet. And that's exactly the truth. One illustration and I close. There was a young daddy and his little girl that came home from the cemetery one day. They had just laid to rest their lovely wife and mother. Came time to go to bed. The little girl came into Daddy's bedroom and said, "Daddy, can I sleep with you tonight?" Daddy said, "Sure." And she crawled up in the bed. She began to talk to her daddy. She said, "Daddy, it's dark." Daddy said, "Yes, it is." The little girl said, "It's the darkest night I've ever seen, Daddy. Daddy, I can't see you. Daddy, is your face toward me?" And the daddy said, "Yes, honey, my face is toward you." And then she said, "Daddy, you can love through the dark, can't you?" And the daddy said, "Yes, sugar, you sure can." And the little girl went to sleep. And the daddy laid there, looking up to heaven, and he said, "Lord, it's so dark. Lord, I've never seen it so dark. Lord, is your face toward me? Lord, you can love through the dark, can't you?" Friend, the most important thing for you to know is that in the dark night of the soul, God's face is toward you. He loves you through the dark. And that dark may hide, but that dark cannot divide. In the dark night of the soul, look to the Lord, lean on the Lord, leave it with the Lord. Would you pray with me, please?